All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here to dig deeper with you again, finishing up the letter to Philemon this week, looking at verses 17 through 25. We've seen the buildup, we've seen the finally the request that Paul has made for Philemon to accept Onesimus back as he is carrying this letter as part of his vetting with the Apostle Paul. So here we go. Starting in verse 17. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greeting, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. All right, there is the end of the epistle to Philemon. And Paul comes out having built on and built on and built on. He goes to say, okay, if you consider me your partner, I have called you my beloved fellow worker. If you consider me a fellow worker, a partner in the ministry and the kingdom of God, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. And verse 18 being the most important part. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Paul says, I will take that debt. Free Onesimus of all of that, I will take over that. Now, this is also given the idea in Romans chapter 5, verse 13, that charging it. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. You know, lawlessness breeds sinlessness because there is no right or wrong if there is no law. But sin is charged when there is a law. So he's using the same verbiage here as in Philemon 18, where if charge that to my account, make me responsible for that. And he goes on in 19 to say, I will repay it, to say nothing of what you owe me. So this is basically an almost just write off Onesimus's debt as being paid off by me with all that I have done for you, including giving you the salvation of your soul and faith in Christ through Epaphras. Now, Dr. Nordling in his commentary makes a big deal about the beginning of verse 19, where I make a bigger deal out of the end of verse 19. But he says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. He says, writers were in the custom of adding the phrase with my own hand to guarantee authorial authenticity, provide a more personal touch, and ensure that whatever had been written was legally binding. Indeed, breaking one's written pledge in ancient times was akin to declaring financial bankruptcy in modern times. So Paul is taking on the debt here. He is signing the deed that says everything that Onesimus owes you is now mine. I own that debt. But he goes on, Dr. Nordling goes on to say, and referring back to Paul's words in Corinthians, the gospel, even Onesimus being brought to faith in Christ, does not directly negate or overturn societal order. Paul is not asking Philemon to ignore the debt. He has just promised to fulfill the legal and economic obligations incurred by Onesimus. What the apostle does ask Philemon is to recognize how great a debt Philemon owes to Christ and to Paul, Christ's agent, and therefore to forgive Onesimus because in Christ and through Paul, God has forgiven Philemon. This is not a, no, you need to do this because this is the right thing to do. Nowhere in the epistle to the Philemon, as we have had it all read these last couple of weeks, nowhere in the entire scriptures does it have anything to say about, you know, while slavery is bad, that, you know, Christians don't have slaves. Unfortunately, that was the case and has been the case throughout the history of the church, is that there have been Christians who have owned slaves, like Philemon. But again, it is the knowledge that the slave and the master are both on the same level as we get to looking at it from God's perspective, which is why when we saw in the end of Colossians that they can talk about masters and slaves and knowing that both have the same master in heaven. The gospel doesn't upset the social order. The gospel doesn't say, okay, this is how we have to live. That's law-based right there. The gospel says, this is what has been given to you. Now you go and live in that spirit. And again, Paul says elsewhere that if you were a slave when you were brought to faith, don't seek your freedom prematurely. Don't go to your Christian master and say, you know, okay, now that I'm a Christian, you really should forgive all of my debt because that would be the Christian thing to do. No, that's turning the gospel into a law and completely ruining the whole relationship and souring what is left of that debt in the master's eyes. What it does is it tells you to live as Christ, however you find yourself. And we have, throughout history, and especially in our own country, you have Christians on both sides, the abolitionist and the slave owners, that are both vehemently going through the scriptures on their side and saying, okay, you know, slavery is absolutely wrong and needs to be gone and done away with. Or slavery is, to use the Southern plantation owner, a necessary evil, the peculiar institution, as it was known throughout the Civil War, is that there is the need for it. But again, there are ways of doing that aren't as hazardous and heinous as we have seen throughout our history. Again, everything is ruined by sin. But we as Christians can go on and, you know, again, part of Philemon is that Christians pay off their debts. Part of Philemon is that we respect the ones whom God has put over us. And yesterday we want to take all of this and say, well, okay, but, you know, master and slave now is employer and employee, which, okay, great. And most of us have had employers that we've really not liked to work with. Some of us have had employees that we have not liked to work with. But God calls us to work with them anyway, because they are also people who have been created in His image. They are also people for whom Jesus has died to forgive them of their sins. And sometimes it is our job as employer or employee to go about and spread that gospel in that context. And we can do that because the gospel calls us to live our lives as Christ lives in us. So as we get to the end of Philemon, we have the typical greetings from different people. But before we get to that, verse 22, Paul is considering that he is not going to be in Rome for the rest of his life, that he is going to be freed from his imprisonment and be able to go about, which, according to many traditions, he does get released from this imprisonment and goes off to Spain. Maybe he comes back to Colossae at some point in time before he's imprisoned in Rome again. But he wants Philemon to be there and ready to receive him if he were to come. And be there to stay with him and to build up the churches in Colossae, in Hierapolis, and Laodicea. And so the greetings are sent from Epaphras, who is there in the prison with him, not necessarily as a prisoner of Rome, but a fellow prisoner, like a fellow prisoner of Christ, as Paul had stated earlier in his case. Because he doesn't necessarily ever call himself a prisoner of Rome. It is always a prisoner of Christ or for Christ or for the sake of the gospel. That is his imprisonment. That is also Epaphras' imprisonment as a Christian, as a pastor. Now we have Mark, which is John Mark, the writer of the second gospel, who has now been reunited with Paul. They have reconciled. Aristarchus, we don't have much about him. He is mentioned elsewhere, but again, not much is given about him. Then we have Demas, who here is treated as a beloved brother. We get to 2 Timothy, the last of Paul's writings in the scriptures, and Demas has left the faith. So he has gone on. But again, we also have Luke, the beloved physician, the writer of the third gospel, the one who has been with Paul pretty much ever since he joined them in the book of Acts. So we get elsewhere where Paul is talking about everyone has left me except for Luke, the beloved physician. And this is the one sending greetings to Philemon. And then, of course, at the end, the Pauline benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That in all of this, everything be run and ordered by the grace of Christ. And that is where we end Philemon, with the grace of Christ. Everything being brought over to his grace, his mercy, his peace, his love. Because these are the things that equip us to wrestle with the theologies around us, to wrestle with the things that are going on around us, so that we might truly live as God's called children in this world, so that we also may live that wonderful, gospel-filled, spirit-filled life that brings such joy, that brings such greatness to our lives, and shows us the purpose, which is following after Christ. All right, that is it for this week. Next week, we start John's general epistle, so 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So I encourage you to be back for that. This is Pastor Doug Minton thanking you for digging deeper with me. We will see you next week. Amen.